The climate in Joburg is changing.
Definitely.
And
yes.
I don't know if we can afford to just, you know, sprinkle gardeners. Price of water is going up. Is it realistic that we're going to have to relook at what we plant, how we plant, where we plant, and all those
things?
That's
a great question, actually.
Absolutely. In the past, we've got away with planting things we really shouldn't have, because our climate is actually, or up to now, has been very forgiving. But that's changing, and we definitely have to be a lot more careful and have to put a lot more thought into what we plant and where we plant it.
Okay, so what would we be planting? Like felt grasses, blackjacks, things that are water friendly. No jacarandas.
There are numerous lovely plants that are actually water wise. I'm not a water wise expert. I'm a tree expert.
Yes.
But for your trees, simply mulching the trees will make a huge difference.
What does that mean?
Mulching is anything that covers the ground, that covers the soil, it retains moisture in the soil. It's preferable for it to be an organic mulch. As it decays and breaks down, it makes all the nutrients available to the trees and the plants. So an organic mulch, preferably something like bark chip or wood chip. But even gravel is a mulch. We find in old gardens, old brick pavings actually start acting as a mulch. Those bricks are actually a mulch, and they protect the soil and retain moisture in the soil.
That's amazing.
So you've kind of touched on the water issue, which I think is very significant and important, but does altitude have anything to do on what one can and cannot plant in Johannesburg?
Absolutely. The main thing is the main climatic influences on what you can and can't plant is the weather. Obviously, altitude determines weather, and rainfall, how much water we get.
So these pretty little English gardens that actually they can take cold and frost, can't they? England's got a lousy climate too. Just thinking, we have huge variations in temperature. We can go from -4 to 30.
Just remember, England's very damp.
Yes,
so your roses are going, which love water, are going to really flourish in an English climate, but maybe not so much in South Africa.
Yeah, English gardens are quite thirsty, probably not. But then with careful planting and careful plant selection, you can create the idea of an English garden with water-wise plants, absolutely.
Incredible. Okay, so what could we be doing in our gardens now that, you know, December perhaps we're not going away and we're going to be spending more time in our gardens? We want it to be pretty. You know, if we want to have friends over, is there anything, or is it already too late? It's October.
Probably a little bit late to get your garden, to make a garden for December. But what you've got, you can certainly improve by watering. That would make a big difference. Probably salvaging some water, household water that could help the garden. If that's possible.
Like grey water.
Grey water. Not everybody's up to trudging out in the garden with buckets from the bath, but a lot of my clients actually do that, and it
isn't a problem. Is grey water a problem in terms of hygiene and things like that?
Not really, not for plants. No,
no.
I wouldn't use it in high use areas, and you'd probably use it right next to the patio and that sort of thing. But a little bit further out in the garden, absolutely no problem.
Okay,
well, that's interesting. Wouldn't expect that. I thought the soap would have contaminated.
Yeah,
it
I also
all.
Thought so.
Not really. By the time it gets into the garden, it's diluted so much that it's not a problem. Probably harvesting rainwater would probably be a much better idea. That's clean water. We all have roots.
Depending on it raining. Anton.
assuming that it's going to start sometime soon.
Yeah.
All right. Before I let you go, and two things. One, you're doing something very interesting this coming Sunday.
Yes.
Okay, so tell us what you're doing.
I'm doing a talk at the WISO Garden Show.
Yes.
Just to create some awareness around the PSHB beetle. That's the Polyphagus shot-hull borer. The shot-hull borer is doing a lot of damage in Joburg's trees at the moment.
Right.
And we are losing
that yellow sap that's running out. I mean, they're killing the trees.
They are. They are killing trees at an alarming rate. We're trying to create some awareness around the borer, how to minimize the impact. The reality is that borer is going to have a massive, massive impact on Joburg's trees. And the question is just how to mitigate that impact
apparently
as much as
7
possible.
Million trees, is that true? 7 million trees are going to be lost because of the shot-hull borer.
Those are estimates. The estimates are based on very, very sketchy tree estimates, the total tree estimate of Joburg. There was a tree survey done many years ago, and I think at the time they counted 5 or 6 million trees in Joburg. That's street trees, trees under municipal care.
Yeah.
So they've sort of extrapolated that over a couple of years to where we are now.
Do you think that those trees should be cut down, or do you think they should be left? The shuttle borers, the ones infected by shuttle borers.
Okay, there's sorry, the answer is not as simple.
Okay, I understand.
Yes, the trees that are severely infested we can't save them, and it's better to actually destroy those trees with the borers and the borers in them along with the tree, to prevent them from escaping into and infesting the rest of the landscape. So severely infested trees, absolutely. Trees that are not too severely infested, trees are not entirely defenseless against the beetle. They do defend themselves. Trees have a system similar to we do to our immune system. Trees have a defense system against any kind of infection. So they are defending themselves. They're just losing the battle right now because there are just so many borers. And our trees are under stress because we planted the wrong trees, or a lot of the wrong trees. English oaks, for instance, are European trees or English trees. They need a lot of water and it's quite dry. So they are stressed. The plane trees on the pavement that are severely infested by borer are typically large trees on small pavements, restricted routes. So those are also stressed trees.
Yeah.
All
along 11th Avenue.
Exactly. So much more susceptible to the borer.
And pollution.
So the idea is to reverse the condition or the conditions that exist, why this beetle is attacking so many trees. Reducing beetle population as much as possible by destroying infested hosts. And improving the health of the trees that are only slightly infested or are not infested.
What's the perfect tree to be planted in Joburg in terms of ability to withstand this kind of attack, use minimal water? What is the perfect tree?
There are a number of trees. I don't think there's a perfect tree. We distinguish between endemic and indigenous. Indigenous is probably more a political term. It's trees indigenous to a country.
Okay.
Endemic means it's indigenous to the climatic area. So it's probably better to go with endemic trees that would naturally occur in the veld. In a specific area.
No, we
area.
Want naturally occurring. Probably a better term.
And we need shade. We need shade as well. That's
absolutely
important.
And oxygen, Sam.
There are numerous studies about the benefits of trees in carbon sequestration and purifying air temperature regulation. Trees are absolutely beneficial. There's no doubt about that. And the borer is going to change that dramatically. The question is, our response to what this borer is doing is going to determine what our tree population looks like in a couple of years' time.
And that is unfortunately where we have to leave it. But we have to get you back.
You're welcome, yes.
Anton, it's been lovely chatting to you. Even Simon's interested in gardening now.
No, no, come on. Who doesn't love a tree? And Joburg is all about trees. I don't know if it's true or not, urban legend, but apparently you can see Johannesburg from space, and it's classified as a forest. I don't know if that's true or not. But
yeah, they say Joburg's the biggest man-made forest in the world.
Yeah.
I'd go with jungle.
There we go.
Concrete, yes.
And
flipping
to lose
jungle.
That because of a blooming beetle. I mean, that's just insane. Yeah, that is quite an emotional issue. So, yeah, I'd certainly love speaking to you. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much. Anton Moller, he's an arborist, and he's actually going to be leading this Witso. You can go and visit three of Johannesburg's prettiest gardens this coming Sunday. It is from round about 9:45 in the morning. The first home is in Ilovo. The second garden is in Sandhurst, and the third one is in Craig Hall. Three of Joburg's prettiest gardens. Isn't that lovely? That's a lovely thing. So the donations are 240 Rand, and just get hold of Witso. If you're missing any of the details, get to chaifm.com, go to community, go to events, and it's all right then. You'll be able to speak to and meet Anton Moller, the arborist. Thank you very, very much. Please don't be a stranger. Come back.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
And, coming up, we really do need some music, Simon.
Go for it. No more movie music, no more. Can I put in a special request for maybe an Israeli music? Could we? Maybe? Just perhaps? Me and Karen.
You and Karen. Mm. All right, I'll see what I can do. I'll work on that.